This talk was given at the 2011 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean Podcast. In this talk, Reggie shows how the human journey of spirituality involves three aspects: healing, wholeness, and compassion. He explains that in order to progress in our meditation practice, we must look at our overall health and open to our pain and traumas in an integrative way.
Before we begin to practice together, I just wanted to say something about the kind of practical view of the spiritual journey. And I think you understand the spiritual journey in this lineage is no different from the human journey. It's exactly the same thing. You know, there's no spirituality that's separate from being human. There are three sort of dimensions in the human journey or spiritual journey. Meditation is the key point, but the three are healing, meditation, and compassion. You know, those are three words that kind of capture the the unfolding of the human person, and particularly in this age. And I'm going to say something about each one because, you know, sometimes we think of meditation as spirituality, but in this lineage it's not viewed that way. It's not that simple. The healing part is that all of us are one way or another ill, meaning that as we have grown up, we have areas of dysfunction, physical dysfunction, psychological, emotional, mental, spiritual. There are parts of ourselves that are, they're, you could say, low functioning. You know, our organs, our the tension in our bodies, which we work with a lot, as you know, in the body work, all the places where our body is unable to flow, unable to live its natural life, are their illness. And we might not think of tension in our neck or tension in our heart. You know, we may feel very sort of locked down in our heart, or you know, we may have kidneys or liver that doesn't work very well. We may have headaches, and we may not think of them really as illness, but all of them are, it's a contraction, you know, that we have experienced because of traumas in our life. I mean, to be human is to be traumatized constantly. And probably in the first year of life, babies receive more trauma than we do for the whole rest of our entire human life. And it definitely leaves its imprint. Being born, you know, being in the womb has traumatic elements. Being born is, you know, very traumatic. Traumatic means that we can't process the experience, and so we shut down. We wall it off, and we end up with a self that is it's misshapen, it's misformed, and it's more or less dysfunctional. So if you try to simply sit down and open your mind, being a damaged human, it's going to be very limited what you can do. You know, you can practice for 20 or 30 years, and if you're not addressing your ill health, and I'm defining this in the biggest way, if you're not addressing it, you're only going to be able to get so far, and as soon as you hit your own boundary, that's it. It doesn't mean you can't be peaceful. It doesn't mean meditation isn't helpful. But the spiritual journey isn't really going to happen unless you begin to address the places, and very deep ones and unconscious ones, where we are shut down and cut off from ourselves. I mean, as babies, you know, obviously we're born with a huge potential in every possible area. And yet that potential cannot be activated unless the environment supports that activation. Even, you know, one of the things that Caroline is working on is it's called 0 to 2. And what it is working with mothers who don't talk to their babies and just watch television. I mean, it's a whole subculture. And their babies don't develop. They don't develop a lot of the normal neurological function that we need as adults. Now, this is very rampant in our society, but they decided to pick this one particular population and work with this particular group of people to teach them that if the mother isn't with the baby a lot and doesn't talk to the baby and play with the baby and hold the baby's neurological functioning is deeply impaired. That's an example of how who we are as people can't really happen unless the environment supports the activation of our neurological possibilities. So, you know, we, all of us, arrive with our neurological possibilities impaired, and that translates into physical impairment as well. And then we use physical tension as a way to maintain ourselves in our retarded state. So that has to be addressed. You know, we can't simply sit down and meditate. It doesn't really work. I mean, you can feel better, but you're not really going to change as a person unless you deal with your health in the biggest sense. So in our lineage, we talk a lot about working with health, that is the ground of spirituality. It's not that you become healthy, but that you're working with it, and you're allowing communication with your illness or your psychological distress or your physical pain. You're working with an opening to it as the ground of the spiritual journey. Working with your body, I mean, that's what the body work is, really. It's a healing initiative. We work with the body initially in order to unlock the healing process in us, because that's how you unlock it, is by working with the body. And then as the body begins to open, the awareness, our overall awareness, begins to unfold. And then the meditation process becomes deepening and extending the awareness and supporting the healing process. So there are a lot of modes of healing, modalities of healing. Caroline and I work with what's called integrative manual therapy. It's a system and very powerful, spiritually oriented method. But there are dozens and dozens of other modalities out there that people practice. Body work, you know, Rolfing and Feldenkrais and massage therapy and continuum and many, many interesting things. And then on the eastern side, yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong and all ways of working with the body. But that's an essential part of what we do. And the body work is the place where that really begins with all of us. Meditation process, you know, we'll talk about in practice. And then on the other end of it, in the Vajrayana, it said that the only way to continue to grow and develop is if you begin to offer whatever you have learned to other people. And we're not talking about, you know, Buddhism or the Dharma, we're talking about in your own life, that there needs to be an outflow of compassion coming out of meditation practice, and that's an essential part of the whole spiritual journey. And without that, the spiritual journey is it's incomplete, and it can't really go very far. So we talk about, in our lineage, healing, wholeness, and compassion. That's the journey. And I'll be making, wholeness is the meditation part, and I'll be referring to that a lot, you know, as we go along. And what happens over time is that your default changes, and rather than being a disconnected default, your default begins to become a connected default, connected with the earth. But you have to put some time into it in the beginning to develop a different sense. And you're going to be greatly helped because the disconnection from the earth is actually not the body's way. In other words, it's a very unnatural and artificial way of being, even though it is the way of the modern world, you know, this utter disconnection from the earth. You know, we're disconnected intellectually because of our beliefs about the earth as being dead and being simply there for our pillage and exploitation. But we're also disconnected somatically and emotionally, and that's actually more fundamental. And that one, the reason that we have the intellectual and spiritual disconnection is because we have the emotional and the physical disconnection to begin with. So what we are doing is we are reversing the ecological damage to the earth in our own person. And then it will very naturally translate to what we think and how we view things. The problem with much of modern ecology is it tries to address only the mental part. And, you know, as we know this because ecology has been around for 50 years and some wonderful, brilliant thinking. But in the beginning, you know, in the 70s, people, ecologists believed that if you just give people the information and tell them what's going on, they'll change. And they didn't change. And a lot of the ecological founders died in despair because information doesn't change people, only awareness does. So what we are doing here is we are working on the ecological crisis at the fundamental level, which is our own personal awareness and sense of somatic and emotional disconnection from the earth. So in case anybody thinks they're sitting here and not relating to the world, good luck. You may walk out of here at the end of Datun and become an ecological activist, but in a real way, if you're not already. All of us are ecological activists in doing this work, in shifting the somatic and emotional connection with the earth through the practice. So we will joyfully, actually, spend a fair amount of time during the Datun reestablishing our connection with the earth and resetting our default to a default of connectedness and interrelationship and interbeing with the earth. And of course, the interesting thing about this is the inner work and the outer work are the same thing. And that's something that, again, we often miss in the modern world. Because I started with talking about how this is the outer work. But of course, it's this very same connectedness that nourishes and fertilizes our own journey. In the same way that we sit on the earth and feel the energy of the earth under us and allow it into our bodies, that it is that energy that actually fuels our own human individuation, our own human journey to fullness and fulfillment. We need the energy of the earth to grow. Big surprise. Trees need the energy of the earth. Grass needs the energy of the earth. Why don't we? Well, we do. People who live in outer space, which everybody thinks that's going to be so great when we can live in outer space. But what we're going to miss is we need the energy of the earth. We need the intimacy. And over the next few days, I want to work on that with you. One time somebody asked, Trungpa Rinpoche, what's the essence of meditation? And everybody, we were all sitting there thinking he was going to say, well, peace or emptiness or something like that. He said intimacy. Meditation is intimacy. It's intimacy with our bodies. That would be something, wouldn't it? If we were actually intimate with our own body, intimate with our emotions. Intimate means easy and open, and allowing ourselves to be touched. Intimacy with other people. Intimacy with fire. knowing fire as a living, breathing other. Knowing the livingness, the breathingness of the world and loving it. When you see fire as a living, breathing, aware other that is seeing you, the name of the connection is love and intimacy. In the Vajrayana, this is the journey, intimacy with ourselves and with others and with the world. And we don't have to own them. You know, we are so starved for intimacy in our world that we often think that if we have a moment of intimacy with another person, somehow we have to either jump into bed with them or own them, because we're so starved. But when intimacy becomes the way of our person and the way of our life, then we are full always. We're so fulfilled and so full and so satisfied on a deepest possible somatic and emotional level, spiritual level. So it begins with the earth, and we learn the intimacy with the earth, and then it becomes natural. So that's what we're going to work on for a few days here. And when we meditate, again, just to restate, with that feeling toward the world and toward ourselves and our bodies, the journey becomes a very glorious one and a very open one and a very free one and very peaceful and very filled with creativity and energy and inspiration and joy. So once again, I'm so appreciative that you have showed up, and I mean it in a real way, that you have showed up, and that we're going to do this together. I can't tell you how much it means to me and to the other Dharma Ocean teachers, you know, that you guys are here and willing to do it.
Download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.